Lesson today is found in the book of Genesis, continuing the subject which we left off last week speaking to you about, where we found that Joseph met his brethren, and they had brought with them Benjamin. And when he had seen that Benjamin was with them, he commanded the ruler of his house to prepare a meal, and told him to go home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. And the steward, he took these men to the house where Joseph dwelt, and he brought them in. And these men, they were afraid. They considered this not an act of kindness on the part of Joseph, but they thought he has seeking occasion against us, because the money that was put in our sacks, he is going to ask us about, and he's going to find cause for us to become bondmen unto him, and even take our asses from us. These were the thoughts that the brothers of Joseph had concerning the kindness that Joseph was showing to them. They could not see that they would obtain any favor from him. They thought that sure they would be accused of being thieves who had run away from the market without paying for their corn. And being troubled in this respect, they had brought their money back with them that they had found in their sacks, and so they communed with the steward of Joseph's house and said unto him that they had found their money in their sacks when they came back, and they had brought their money back with them, and also money to buy more corn. So in this respect, they showed their honesty and sincerity, and they wished to have the steward stand between them and Joseph, if Joseph should accuse them of being thieves. And we find that they were taken into the house, and they were given water to wash themselves, and the steward, he supplied their asses with provender to eat, and then it was time for Joseph to come home. Joseph had seen his brother Benjamin, but because he had seen him, he did not immediately leave his work and go to his home. It proves that we are not to leave our employment just because some relative or some friend of ours has come to us unexpectedly. Joseph was in the midst of selling corn and gathering money together, and therefore he waited until noontime, and then he came home. And when he came home, the brothers, they fell down before him. They did obeisance to him, and they presented the present that they had brought with them to him. This present their father had gathered together and told them that they should present this lord of the land with this present. And so we find that Joseph, he spake unto them and said unto them, is your father, the old man whom ye spake of, still alive? Is he well? Well, they said, yes, our father is still in good health. This question was a good question, my hearers, a question that concerns you and I. It was a question whether Jacob was still alive or not. This question comes home to us. Every day, people are dying. Why not you? Why not I? What maketh us to differ? It should be a wonder to us that we live, not that we are dead. It is God that has given us life and that preserves us. And that we are yet what we are, we have him to thank for. How many in our midst have had fathers, mothers, relatives, brothers and sisters who have gone into that great beyond who we see no more amongst us? There's a time coming for you and I that they will say, is he or is she alive yet? Those that haven't seen us for years. Joseph hadn't seen his father for over 20 years. It was a question for him to know whether his father was still alive. And to hear that he was alive, you may be sure that he was filled with joy and happiness to know that this old man, 100 and some years of age, was still in good health. And then he says, "Is this your younger brother, which he spake unto me of?" And they said, "Yes." And he turned to Benjamin, and he said unto Benjamin, "God be gracious unto thee, my son." Oh, my dear hearers, I can understand Joseph saying this to his brother Benjamin. "God be gracious unto thee, my son." If anyone that is listening to me has found grace in the sight of God, this free, this sovereign grace that God bestows so graciously and mercifully, they likewise will wish that everyone that they come in contact with would have this grace that they had received. They cannot communicate it to them, but they have a heart filled with love and affection to mostly their relatives and their friends, that they also would receive grace. Joseph had this too. "God be gracious unto thee." How he wished, how he prayed inside, that God might give this young son, this Benjamin, the same grace that he had. For God had been very gracious to Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin, he was moved with emotion, moved with affection towards his brother. He could hardly refrain himself. He went away into a room, and there he gave vent to his feelings. There he cried and wept because of the goodness of God over him, and also over his father and over this brother of his, who he had not seen also for 20 years. Oh, this God had been so good that he had brought this young brother of his back to see him, who he did not know was his brother. Oh, my hearers, Joseph was carried away under the goodness of God over him, in placing him also in the position that he was, and giving him that authority and that power in which he would be enabled to help his brothers and help his father and their family. Oh, what a blessing, my hearers. Have you ever had such a blessing in your life that God made all his goodness pass before you, towards you, a sinner like you, and that you could not contain yourself, that you had to go alone and go in your room and go on your knees and praise and thank this God for all what he has done for you, such a creature who art so undeserving of his goodness? So I think it was with Joseph too. And after he had washed his face, then he came out to them, and he communed again with them. And he placed them in the order in which they were born at the table. How wonderful! From the firstborn down to the youngest, he placed them at the table. And they all looked at each other, and they marveled that they sat that way. Some commentaries say, well, they just sat that way because that was their custom. But we cannot believe that, because they themselves marveled that they were sitting this way in the house of a stranger who had brought them in and given them to sit down at the table. And they had set tables for Joseph's brothers, table for Joseph, and a table for the Egyptians. This was the custom when they ate, because the Bible says that it was an abomination unto the Egyptians to eat with the Hebrews. What was this abomination? Why did they not want to sit and eat with the Hebrews? Well, my dear hearers, the Egyptians, they worshiped this animal that we call the cow. They called this animal a sacred animal. And to see the Hebrews eat this animal that they worshiped, this was an abomination to them. They didn't want to touch anything that the Hebrews ate in this respect. They wouldn't bother with their dishes. They wouldn't have their forks or their knives or their plates or anything. It was an abomination for them. they had to have everything separate because of the Jews, they ate the cow. So likewise it was amongst the Hindus and likewise amongst the Greeks of old. They could not see a European Christian sit down and eat this animal which was sacred to them. It was an abomination. They would not sit with them or eat with them. And Joseph probably knew this, and he had no objection, of course, to having a table for himself and for the Egyptians that dwelt with him. But probably he ridiculed them. Probably he spake to them concerning what they worshipped and what they favored. This was nothing else but idolatry. And so they sat down to eat, and they were eating with him, it says, and they drank and were merry. Joseph, he gave unto his brother Benjamin 5 times as much as he gave to his other brothers. It appears that he was the head, and from him went the messes that they should eat. And the Bible says that he gave Benjamin 5 messes. In fact, he gave him 5 times more than the other brothers had. Now, he did not do this so that he would overeat. This would have been wrong of Joseph, too. This is cruelty to force people to eat when they do not want it. So Joseph did not do that in that manner. But this was just to test these brothers of his, whether they were rightly affected towards Benjamin or not. You know, Joseph, he had been given by his father a beautiful coat. And these brothers, they had envied him because his father loved him and gave him this coat. So he tested them to see whether they would be affected by what he did to this brother. He gave him 5 messes to eat. And we find that they sat with him and they drank with him and they made merry. They were merry with him. A wonderful time, I think it was, for these brothers. Probably they hadn't had a meal like this in months. What Joseph supplied them with to eat, because it was a time of famine and there wasn't much good to eat, only the necessities of life, but Joseph had plenty. And so he prepared an abundance upon the table, and they likewise enjoyed the meal immensely. They drank and were merry with him. In the Holland Bible, it says they were drunken. This we don't agree with. We don't believe that Joseph would let his brothers become intoxicated, that he would give them more than what was sufficient. No, our scripture in English is more clearly in this respect. They drank and they were merry with him. Oh, what a meal this must have been. And not knowing the person that had been so kind to them and had supplied them with this meal. Oh, Joseph, in this respect, is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have at times the Lord's Supper, and he invites his people to come to this table. As Joseph prepared the table for his brethren, so Christ prepares a table for his brethren, for his people, and he invites them to come to this table. And there are times, some of these people of God will say that's true, that Christ is very present in the midst of this gathering around the table, and that every one of them are given to taste something of his love and of his favor. This happens at times. It has happened in our church in Passaic that we have met after we had a service, and that almost every one of the children of God, they said, boy, it was so good. God was so near, and I had so much on what I heard. We have this very seldom in the time we are living in. But it has happened in the times past, even at the table, that they have enjoyed something of the love and of the favor of Jesus Christ. Oh, how sweet and how good this is, my hearers. Have you ever had anything of it? That Joseph, he dined his brethren, so Christ, he likewise gives his people a feast of fat things, of wines on the lees. Oh, they are sometimes so merry inside with his presence, as these brothers were at the table with Joseph. And this Benjamin, he was given five times more than what his brethren had. In this respect, spiritually, we would say that Joseph probably, he wasn't, I know not whether he was or not, a beginner, just having received this new life in his soul. And it is written in the Word of God that these that are just born again, Jesus dandles on his knees. He gives them an abundance of spiritual food. So with Benjamin receiving five times more than the others, it happens at a table sometimes that God indulges one of these beginners. Oh, how good does he treat them. He makes them drunk with his love. Oh, they are like the apostles were when the Spirit came down upon them, and many of them accused them, apostles, that they were drunk. Oh, that was a blessed time for the apostles, and it's a blessed time when the Lord comes down and manifests himself in the souls of his people, and he gives them the taste of his love, of his nearness, and of what it shall be to be forever with him. Oh, to be drunk in this respect, it's no sin, my hearers. I would like to be drunk like this every day. I think every child of God would say, so would I. But it happens so seldom that it is so. And they were merry. Oh, they were so happy. Why? Why, they had found favor now in the sight of this man, the Lord of the land. Abraham had said when he let Benjamin go, God Almighty give you to find mercy in the sight of the man. And they found this. They were glad. They were happy. And now we find after they had eaten and drunk, then Joseph commanded his steward to fill their bags with as much corn as would go in it, and to put their money back in their bags. And he said to his steward, take this silver cup that I drink out of and put it in the bag of the youngest brother with his corn money. And the steward, obedient unto his master Joseph, did as he was told. And so the brothers, they went out of the city to go back home. Oh, how glad they were. How happy they must have been. It was so good to be with that man, and he had treated them so good. And now they had Joseph, they had Simeon with them again, who had been closed up all that while, and they were going back to their father. And oh, wouldn't their father be glad to see them with Simeon and with Benjamin? Surely they felt good, they were in good spirits. And as they were outside of the city, Joseph said to the steward, haste, go, pursue after them. And when you find them, speak so and so to them, and say to them, you have rewarded evil for good, for you have taken the master's silver cup, which he drinketh out of, and which he useth to divine. And of course, when this steward came there and accused these brothers of this, oh, they could not believe that this was true. They even said, why, we came back here and we brought the money with us, which we found in our sacks the first time. We steal silver or gold out of the Lord's house? No. The man in whose sack you find this silver piece, let him be killed, and we will all be your bondmen. So certain were they that it was not true. And now it looks and appears to be in you that this, on one side, was something that we would say it was not right of Joseph to do. If Joseph had done that now with the idea of finding something against Benjamin and having him arranged for it and keeping him, that would have been wrong. And now, these brothers, they, speaking in their haste, should never spoke the way they did, because they in this respect made themselves actually servants and slaves of Joseph if the cup was found. But it appears that all was done and it ended well. This steward, he accused them then of taking this silver cup. So they all put their bags down on the ground and they began to open the bags. And he started from the oldest to the youngest. And when he came to the youngest, there he found this silver cup. This was the cup probably that Joseph had used while they were dining with him, a special cup probably that he was fond of and that he used for himself personally. The scripture says, which he himself also says, know ye not that I divine with that cup? This word divine is probably in this respect not meant that he worshipped this cup or that he told fortunes with this cup, but it meant that it was a cup that he was using that he would detect whether they were honest or not. He probably had left this cup on their table. And in this, he tried them to see whether they would take this cup or not. And now, this being the case that it is found in Benjamin's sack, they, the brothers, they could not believe that any one of them had taken it. And I believe that Benjamin, he would have swore with an oath that he hadn't taken it. But the evidence was there. The remarkable thing about this is that they did not say, well, our money is in this sack too. Who put the money there? The man that put the money there, he put the cup there. They didn't even say that. They immediately fell into their guilt, all of them. They were brought by the Spirit, probably, to be given to see how guilty they were in dealing the way they did with Joseph. And now God was doing this as a recompense unto them, and that they likewise would have to suffer for their sins that they had committed. For they immediately bound up their sacks, put it on their asses, and started back to the city. And now they came back to Joseph's house, and Joseph was still home, it says. And when they came before Joseph, they fell down flat on the ground. And they said, God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants, and we will be thy bondmen, we and he in whose sack the cup was found. My hearers, Joseph is immediately brought back to the time that he had these dreams. Here his dreams were completely fulfilled. They had ridiculed him when he had them dreams, and they had said, what, we bow down before thee, and you rule over us? Huh. They laughed at him to scorn. But here now, they themselves became his bondmen and his servants. They willingly fell down before him. It was God that brought them brothers back like that. It was God that fulfilled his own dreams given unto Joseph. And they wanted all of them to be slaves and bondmen because this had taken place. And now Joseph, he said, no, just the youngest, he will remain. Yous go back to your father and let this younger son be a bondman unto me. Now this Judah, he had spoken unto his father before he had been given permission to take Benjamin with him. He had said to his father that he would be surety for Benjamin, and that if he did not bring Benjamin back, that he himself would carry the blame forever. And now this Judah, he speaks unto Joseph. That Judah, it appears, was very bold. He was also eloquent. He was a gifted man to speak unto this Lord of the land. For the speech that he made, according to the commentaries, you don't find a speech like it in the Bible. Why? He had no time to prepare a speech, Judah. When he came back and Joseph spake to him in this way, he spake unto Joseph. He was given to have the word for the brothers. And he, in the first place, condemned himself and his brothers, saying that God had found out their iniquity and that they were willing to be his bondmen. But he begins to remind Joseph. If you read this, you will take particular notice that he brings the words of Joseph back to him. He says, when we came down the first time, you asked us if we had a father. And we said, yes, we had an elder father, an old man, and he had two sons. The one is no more, and the one is still home by his father. And he is his darling. His life is tied up in the life of his son. And thou saidest unto us that we should bring our younger brother down, and that if we did not bring him down, we would not see thy face anymore. And we went back to our father, and we spoke to him these words. And our father, he said, my wife had two sons. One was torn to pieces, and I've never seen him since. And if thou takest this Benjamin down, then thou wilt bring my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. But our father said, go and buy us a little corn. And we told him we would not go down except that the youngest brother would go with us. And we came down here, and now this has taken place. And now he pleaded with Joseph that it was Joseph's words that had brought Benjamin down there, and it was now Joseph's case that he should judge now what is right. For he says, I, thy servant, have become surety for the lad, and I have taken upon me the blame that would be forever if my youngest brother is not returned. Return, my youngest brother, with my other brothers, and I will be your bondman, and I will be your slave, in other words, for I cannot see but that if my younger brother does not go back, my father will surely die. When he sees that Benjamin is not with them, then I and my brothers will be the ones that have brought down his gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. They then, this Judah pleaded so for his father and for Benjamin. For this was something so happy to Joseph. It was so happy to him to hear that his brothers so loved his father and so loved Benjamin that they wouldn't want to see that he should die because Benjamin was not with them. This Judah, he made such intercession before Joseph for his father and for Benjamin. There was no need for him to make intercession. Although Judah didn't know this, that Joseph loved his father and loved Benjamin more than Judah did. And him making intercession Oh, this was so good to Joseph. Here then we find Judah willing to become a bondman and a slave in the place of his brother Benjamin. It's written in the Bible that if a time came of persecution and we knew someone and we were so attached to someone and was so fond of one that if he was going to be killed, then we would offer ourselves in his place so that he would not die. That's how strong love is even amongst the children of God. But here we have an emblem of stronger love than that. Not one that would offer himself up to die for someone would offer himself up to be a slave the rest of his life in the place of the one that he wanted to see go free. So this man, this Judah, he was in this respect an intercessor for his father and for his brother. Judah is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. As Judah spake unto Joseph and interceded for his father and for his brother, so Christ, who sprang out of the tribe of Judah, has been not only an intercessor, but has bore the transgressions of his people and has pleaded in heaven above for his brethren. So we find that Joseph, in this respect, was carried away by the eloquence and by the speech of Judah. He said not one word to Judah while he was talking. He was full of emotion. We give Joseph credit that he held himself in all the while, amidst all what he had to experience with his brothers. But now he could not hold himself in any longer. And we find in the first chapter, the first verse of chapter 45, that he said, let all men go out from me. He did not want any of the Egyptians in the room when he made himself known unto his brother. Let all men go out from me. He wanted to be alone with his brothers. And likewise, he cried with a loud cry, it says. He wept with a loud cry, that even the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard this. This is how loud that he wept. That Joseph here is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have ever experienced to be a penitent sinner, you have had your guilt brought home to you, and you have been given to go into a room all alone, fearing because of your sin that God is angry with you and that God will surely smite you into hell, you find such a difference, my hearers. Instead of this, you find the pity, the compassion, the mercy of God coming to you, such a guilty creature. See it in the prodigal son. Oh, what a blessing, my hearers, is that for any sinner in this life to experience, where you fear to be cut off, to find pity, compassion. Christ is moved of himself towards such a sinner because it is his work in such a sinner's heart. And so Joseph, he likewise was moved. Oh, he wept and cried. And we find that in the next verse, he spake unto his brethren and said, I am Joseph, whom ye sold unto Egypt. And his brothers, they were troubled at his presence. Oh, what went on in their minds, you could judge yourself. Especially when he said, whom ye sold into Egypt. They were reminded of their guilt, of what they had done to him. But Joseph said, I am Joseph, your brother. Come near unto me. He wanted to prove to them that it was no fake, but that he was their real brother. Oh, I think maybe there are some in my midst that would wish that this precious Jesus in heaven above likewise would say unto them, I am Jesus, your brother, your Savior. What wouldn't some of you give to have Jesus say this to you? Why, it's worth more than all the gold and silver in this world to have Christ manifest himself unto your soul. And when does he do this? When you're alone. He doesn't manifest himself when the world is around you, but when you may be alone in your inner chamber, there he manifests his compassion, his love, his mercy, his pity towards such a sinner as you may be. Oh, what a blessing to have such a manifestation of Christ to your heart, to have him say, as he said unto Paul on the way to Damascus, I am Jesus. That was enough. Oh, I think if he said that unto me, I wouldn't know the end of the joys that would have come into my soul. Such a hidden person is Christ until he manifests himself. Oh, what a wonder when he does, my hearers. So few in our times have such a manifestation to their hearts. There are many that long for it, that pray for it, but he conceals himself, he hides himself. It must come with us as it did with these brothers. They came into a place where they were guilty, where they were undone. Then Christ manifests himself to such a person. So Joseph manifested himself to his brothers. My time is gone, my dear hearers. Next Lord's Day, we'll try to finish the history of Joseph. I don't like to go away from it. It's a nice, interesting story, and it's very instructive. The Lord bless the instruction this day to your immortal souls, for his name's sake. That's all.